The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
So the question that movies pose is, you know, every now and then you get one of these, how are we all going to buy the farm at the end of it? And the most popular, it seems, consensus is climate change.
It's a mob scene here at Grand Central Station. Over half the platforms are flooded and service has been suspended on all trains. With planes still grounded and trains now out of service, that's bad news for the
Hey, Victor's coming to pick me up. Do you guys want to ride to the train station?
Been stranded since this morning.
Not anymore.
In Nova Scotia earlier today, the ocean rose by 25 feet in a matter of seconds. What we have feared for the past few days has indeed happened. The cold front moving down from the Arctic has created an enormous storm system in Canada, which, incredible as it sounds, looks more and more like a tropical hurricane.
So we thought it might be worth figuring out which of these movies has it right when it comes to the way that we're going to kick the bucket. Which, with us is Dr. Michelle McKeown, who is a lecturer in environmental geography and principal investigator at the Environmental Research Institute at UCC and has a PhD in paleoclimatology. Michelle, I would love to see your business card. It must be amazing.
Thanks so much, Anton. And thanks so much for having me on the show.
It is a pleasure. Now, kick us off with climate change. It is now the trendiest one among movies. Is it the one that's finally going to do for us?
Well, that's a good question. So, I suppose, you know, our greenhouse gas emissions, and we look at, you know, I mean, looking at 1.5 degrees above pre-industrial levels, and that's the point that we want the global climate to kind of, I suppose, to not go above. And already we're sitting at about 1.1 to 1.2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. So, yeah, climate change is definitely one of the biggest, I suppose, threats to our whole civilization, really, in today's world.
And so, which fiction take on it is most accurate? When you watch the movies, which do you say? Because that clip there was from The Day After Tomorrow. So is it the one that is the best example of how it might all happen?
Actually, The Day After Tomorrow, I really like this movie. And I think it has a bit of a kernel of truth to it, but it kind of runs wild. So this idea of the movie is kind of based on the idea of the disrupted Atlantic meridional overturning circulation, which is called the AMOC, shortened down for. So this is a key ocean current. It's like a conveyor belt that regulates global climate. And that has strong basis in science. So lots of recent studies suggest that melting polar ice, particularly from Greenland, as a result of, you know, climate warming, have already weakened the system. And under high emission scenarios, it could collapse, and it's already weakening. And if this does collapse or weaken, it could actually cool Europe and the planet overall. However, scientists aren't sure about the timing of when this could happen. And it's a bit kind of a hot topic at the moment in the scientific community. But with The Day After Tomorrow, they hyper-accelerate the timeline here. So instead of looking at decades, if this AMOC was to severely weaken or collapse, it happens in days. And then the movie kind of has all these dramatic effects like tornadoes shredding up Los Angeles and New York freezing. So it has these kind of people freezing in this like liquid nitrogen style. And that's a bit, well, that's thermodynamically absurd.
If it's thermodynamically absurd, where do you stand on Interstellar? Because Interstellar is a similar thing, but it is crop failures, dust bowls, and it's more gradual.
Yes, I think Interstellar is such an amazing movie. And they actually got a lot of consultation from a physicist called Kip Thorne. And he was brought there to kind of ensure about, you know, give a bit of scientific information on wormholes and black hole visuals and make sure that they were actually grounded in relative theory. But crop blight, wiping out food supplies, is a real plausible threat. Fungal pathogens and climate change, they do endanger global agriculture. However, the idea of Earth becoming this dust-choked wasteland in decades is exaggerated. It would take kind of, I suppose, centuries for this to actually happen.
Hang on for a minute. How long did it take? It didn't take centuries for America to completely wreck the prairie lands and create the Dust Bowl. They did that pretty rapidly.
Yeah. And I suppose with Interstellar, you're talking about, I suppose, the Earth becoming uninhabitable as a result of crop failures. But, you know, I mean, we are seeing these threats. You know, we are seeing, like, you know, all these quick environmental changes. We're seeing, as you mentioned, you know, dust bowls. We're seeing climate change become accelerated. We're seeing, you know, we're in a biodiversity crisis. So while the movies kind of accelerate the timelines, a lot of the issues are, you know, real. They're real everyday issues.
Well, the other one that is a big threat, obviously, is meteor impact. Before we get to the likelihood of meteor impact, let's do some of the outliers, because there was a movie back in 2003 called The Core, which had a notion that the center of the Earth could stop spinning with fairly significant consequences for all of us. The science of that, where do we stand?
I actually don't even know where to begin with The Core movie. The Core, I suppose, stopping, it's incomprehensible. It would, you know, the idea of this movie, it kind of goes far beyond anything natural, that the core stopping would disrupt the Earth's magnetic field. If it did stop, like, it would be gradual, not instant. This movie is just so funny. The fact that they drill to the core of the Earth, it's impossible with the current technology that we have. And the idea of nukes restarting it, the angular momentum, it doesn't work like a car engine, let's say. So the film's a complete sci-fi romp, not a science lesson. Although, and I mentioned this in my article in the Irish Examiner, when I was working in the university, it wasn't in Ireland now, it was abroad, but there's also a documentary called The Core, and it talks about, you know, it talks about kind of the different layers of the Earth and how they work. And a lecturer went in and kind of played a movie and left to go get a coffee for 20 minutes, came back in, and they had showed this movie, The Core, instead of the documentary, which is funny.
Well, what's our current record for drilling towards the core?
Oh, yeah. So the deepest hole ever, I suppose, cored in the Earth was the Kola super deep borehole. And they managed to get down around 12 kilometres. But in the movie, I think they tried to go right down to the centre.
The Kola Deep is one of the more disappointing and anticlimactic things in the world, because when you say there is a hole that goes 12 kilometers down, I think everybody pictures a mine shaft. It's only about 12 inches wide, like it's a tube.
Yeah, it's still like difficult to core. A lot of the work I do would be coring. I don't go down very deep now, I'd go down about 10 meters.
Oh, no, I'm not criticizing their tube. It's a lovely tube, but you're not going to take a lift down into it and have a look around, is my point.
Exactly. No, you're completely right. Yeah. And in the movie, they have like people that are sitting kind of in this whole kind of chamber, and they're kind of going right, or in this whole kind of craft, and they're going all the way down. It wouldn't work at all, you know, in terms of even how our physiology would work under that, with those different pressures.
Let's then go to the one that did for the dinosaurs and is an ever-present threat, a sword of Damocles hanging over all of our heads. This is how Deep Impact analyzed it.
Our missiles have failed. The comets still headed for Earth, and there's nothing we can do to stop them. So this is it. If the world does go on, it will not go on for everyone. We have now been able to calculate the comet's final trajectories, and we have determined where they're going to strike. The smaller of the two comets, Biedemann, will hit first. Somewhere along the Atlantic seaboard, probably in the waters off the coast of Cape Hatteras, in just under 12 hours at 4:35 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The impact of the comet is going to be, well, disastrous. There will be a very large tidal wave moving quickly through the Atlantic Ocean. It'll be 100 feet high, traveling at 1,100 miles an hour. It's faster than the speed of sound.
Disastrous seems like something of, I would have gone with catastrophic. No.
Yeah. Deep Impact. I absolutely love this movie. I remember watching it as a kid, and it actually gets a lot right. And so comets could strike Earth. They have in the past. And as you mentioned, kind of wiping out the dinosaurs 66 million years ago. It's largely been kind of linked to the Chicxulub impact. So
where was that? Yucatan or somewhere, was it?
Mexico, yeah.
And I'm right in saying that effectively, Tuesday afternoon, dinosaurs all happy, all is well with the world. By Thursday morning, toast.
Yeah, well, I actually would have taken a bit longer. So they would have had the, you know, you would have had the asteroid in this case, would have impacted. So you would have had kind of, you know, I suppose dinosaurs or whatever was living close to the impact site would have been wiped out like within seconds. And then you have kind of the dust, and you would have had the amount of material that was then blown up into the atmosphere, and that would have created then, I suppose, cooling. You would have had photosynthesis being impacted then in the, you know, years afterwards. So that would have kind of impacted the ability kind of plants to produce food. They would have died off. So you would have had instantaneous impacts, and then you would have had these longer term ones as well. So it was kind of a bit, you know, it wasn't just that the dinosaurs were wiped out instantaneously. It was a bit of a kind of slower kind of burn, I suppose.
So what are our chances? Is that how it's all going to end?
Oh, we don't know. So, I mean, it's very plausible that, you know, asteroids or comets could strike Earth. And what I think is really nice about this movie is the way they depicted kind of the global effort around it. But, you know, NASA has planetary defense strategies. They even have this like double asteroid re-detection test, also called the DART mission. And what they did in 2022 was they actually successfully kind of nudged an asteroid orbit. So it wasn't on its route to hit Earth or anything like that, but they just wanted to test if they could actually do this. And yeah, they were quite successful. So it's plausible that, like, you know, an asteroid or comet could hit Earth. But we have a lot of technology today that we can actually spot objects that are potentially on their course to Earth. Well, and that technology, yeah, it's advancing all the time.
After all the criticism of Elon Musk, it turns out we may need his stuff yet. Michelle, thank you very much. That is Dr. Michelle McKeown, lecturer in environmental geography and principal investigator at the Environmental Research Institute in UCC.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.